One day a group of scientists got together and decided that man no longer needed God. They'd come a long way themselves, and so they picked one of their number to go and confront God and tell God, listen, God, I think you're obsolete, we don't need you. And so the scientists walked up to God with great confidence and said, God, we've decided we don't need you anymore. We can clone people. We can do the miraculous. Why don't you just go and get lost? God, being God, listened very patiently and kindly to the man. And when the scientist had done his talking, God said, well, why don't we have a competition? And let's see whether you really can do without me. And the scientist replied, that's great. No worries in the world. And God said, well, why don't we go back and do it like what we did in the what I did in the past in the old days with Adam. The scientist said, sure, no problem. And he said, rightio. God said, okay, start. And the scientist bent down and grabbed a handful of dirt. And God says, you go and get your own dirt. Gary Larson's got a great look of life. And here is God at his creation. There you go. Boy, these things are cinch. God's making snakes. In case you haven't picked up this morning, we're looking at the accusation, or maybe the question seems to come more in the form of accusation, that science has disproved God. Now, if that accusation was based on the level of the comment found on the internet, or maybe the sort of comments we get out of our secular media, it would be fair to say that Christians have a long way to go to prove their point, and probably we don't have a leg to stand on. Now, what I hope you realise this morning is that there's a small number of people making an awful lot of noise, and people with different views find it very hard to get onto the media. In fact, we're going to meet a guy today who is an atheist, or was an atheist, an agnostic, sorry, and a materialist, but he's not really the sort of person that people are proud of because he talks about the fact that science points him towards God. Richard Dawkins, in his book, The God Delusion, makes the comment, you cannot be an intelligent scientific thinker and hold religious beliefs. Science, he thinks, has removed the need to believe in God. And particularly, he focuses his attack on the God of the Bible. His attack is also echoed by many of his devotees. Are they right? Has science disproved God or the need for God? Is there or is their vitriolic and often vitriolic mantra actually hiding an emptiness of evidence and a blind faith of their own? This topic has plenty of sidetracks and the potential to raise plenty of questions. You can write those questions down or email them to me, that's great. I do warn you that I'll be away for a week, so there will be a delay in a reply. I'm going to try and avoid going down the sidetracks, and I just want to focus on the question, has science disproved God? Let me begin by praying, and then we'll define what I mean by science. Let me pray. Our Lord and our God, we pray that as we come to this topic, our hearts, our heads, our lives will be open to you, to be able to engage a community which is sometimes look for every opportunity to turn us back towards you. Help us to be able to engage them in order to be able to share with them the wonderful news of your creation. And we ask this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Well, I want to break our understanding of science into two broad areas. There's, first of all, something that could be termed operational science. This is the sort of science that is repeatable and testable. It's the sort of science that's led to many of the increases in our technology or improvements in our technology, our improved medical system, the ability of people to grow more food. It's put men on the moon. It's improved our understanding of animal behaviour and biology. It's given us countless sources of information and incredible gadgets for us to play around with all our lives. This is operational science. And I think that's what most of us think about when we talk about science. The second broad area of science is very different from this testable and repeatable operational science. It's what might be termed historical sciences. This is scientific thinking that's not based on science that is repeatable. It's based on observations of certain facts or features on the earth, and it's combined with worldviews and extrapolations and assumptions that are then interpreted to give great theories as to how that particular fact arose or feature was formed. It is not repeatable. It is not testable. Very little of the original data for when that feature was formed or the fact took place is knowable. It's determined by assumptions and extrapolations. The historical sciences are therefore really speculative. Their conclusions are enormously affected by the worldview of the people that were making this, the worldview and assumption, of the people who were drawing the conclusions. The historical sciences, the greater the time gap between when the events took place and the conclusions that were drawn about them, means that the impact of the worldview impact of the person making the theory has a greater impact. Let me say that again. The greater the time between when the event took place and when the theory was formulated means that the worldview of the person who comes up with the theory has a bigger impact on the outcome of the theory. When people disagree about the conclusions and claims of the historical sciences, we must remember they are more often than not disagreeing with regard to the facts uncovered. They are disagreeing regarding the conclusions of what took place. Remember, the worldviews and assumptions play a huge part of this particular area of science. This now gives us two areas of science to be working with. If we want to discuss this claim of has science disproved God, what can we say regarding operational sciences and historical sciences and the claims that science has disproved God? Well, first of all, operational science by its very nature says nothing about God's existence or his lack of existence. In fact, operational sciences actually give us great clues for God. As we're going to meet one of the most determined materialists of his time, as he looked at what he discovered, it gave him a great clue for God. It didn't change his heart that we know of, but it gave him a great clue for God. The second thing we can say is that when people make the claim that science has disproved God, they often have in mind, rightly or wrongly, science theories that have their origins in the historical sciences, events that are untestable and events that are highly affected by their assumptions. So the person who made the CD player didn't suddenly think, well, therefore there's no need for God. It's normally the person who tries to deal with the origin of the world sort of question that sort of tries to draw that conclusion. So when analysing the historical sciences, it's wise to be critical of the worldview and the assumptions that the person has brought to the facts that has then caused them to arrive at their theory. So what do the experts say? There are a high number, or a vocal number, of high-profile scientific people that will say the science has disproved God. But we hear from them and not from any others. Let's hear what real scientists think about what they have discovered and what it points towards. Stephen Jay Gould, who was a Harvard scientist, an evolutionist when he was alive, he was an atheist, but he's since changed his views, I believe. He says, "Either half my colleagues were enormously stupid, or the science of Darwinianism is fully compatible with conventional religious beliefs and equally compatible with atheism." Now, we would be wise to unpack some of that. We won't do that now. But what does he mean by the science of Darwinism might be a good question to ask. What does he mean by Christianity? But there is a man who is a scientist and an atheist who says that what he uncovers in his science work has no impact on his religious or non-religious beliefs. That is very important to hear. Nuclear physicist Hugh Sifkin I think I pronounced his name correctly. He says this: I believe in science and I believe in God. I plan to continue to testify to both. Dr. Robert Jastrow, we'll watch something in a minute. Don't go on to the next slide. He's died in 2008. He was an American astronomer. He was a physicist and a cosmologist. He was a leading NASA scientist, a popular author, a futurist and an agnostic. Now, there's probably some words in there you're not 100% sure of. He was smart and he didn't believe God existed. Let's watch what he had to say as he wrestled with this question. You can see the angst in what he's saying. Let's watch it. I'm sure you picked up everything. I might send out via the church email the link to that so you can watch it a little later. But there's obviously a man who's wrestling between what he's been brought up to believe or what he doesn't want to believe and what his science is telling him. In another place, Dr. Robert Jastrow said, "For the scientist who has lived by his faith in the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He's about to conquer the highest peak, and as he pulls himself over the final rock, he is greeted by a band of theologians who've been sitting there for centuries." There's a man who clearly understands the implications of what his profession is wrestling with. Remember, this is not a Christian man speaking. He's clearly saying that science is leading him and others to a belief in God. Now, we've got to then unpack what they believe about God. We're not going to enter much into that question today. But he's certainly not saying that science has disproved Christianity. It's very clear, isn't it? Why is it that some people then claim that science has disproved Christianity? Or disproved God, as a broader question? Some people make that claim, because they have the idea that science is all there is. Science is the thing that can determine all that you need to know and all that is knowable. That is a big claim. People like Dawkins make the claim that using the scientific method, the scientists can determine not only how all things operate, but it can also determine why they work. Science, they claim, will one day be able to explain everything. And therefore, the conclusion they draw is that God is no longer needed. He has been disproved. But let me say, far from it. It's a big claim, and the clear claim is sometimes called the theory of everything. Pretty interesting. At least it's not a hard word to say. What they claim is that is far more than science can bear, though. Science cannot describe beauty. It cannot describe why I like red cordial. It cannot describe emotions like love. It can measure them. It can measure my brain activity as I drink red cordial and your children's if we serve red cordial to them afterwards. It can measure the brain activity, but it can't explain the why question. Science can't explain to me why I need moral boundaries, why I need to draw a line in the sand and not cross it in order to enjoy life to the fullest. And it can't actually determine which line I should draw if it thought it could anyhow. You see, real science is very good at determining how things work. That is its purpose. But it's not that very good at determining why. And it's not very good at determining why we need to draw boundaries on things, or maybe what the social implications of some of its discoveries will lead to. So when the scientists try and tell you that science can tell you why and what for, why you exist and what you exist for, or why this is happening and what for, the answers that they are giving are often imported into the facts that they're determining, and they're imported in from their own worldview. The second reason why people will claim that science has disproved God is that they actually, in their scientific method, they've ruled out the possibility of God in the first place. Science rightly seeks to determine natural causes. Science never tries to determine a supernatural cause. In fact, they just rule it out as not possibly existing at the beginning. One bloke put it this way. When science tries to look for the existence of God, it's like losing your car keys in a street, but only looking for them where the street lights have lit up, and ruling out the possibility of looking for them in one of the dark places. So the answer to why some people claim that science has disproved God is not because science does that. It's because they've done it. And they've tried to interpret the data in a way which denies the need for God or the reality of God. Alistair McGrath, who's a biophysicist, he's got a doctorate in biophysics and he's a theologian. He sat down in an informal time, so it's not a study, and questioned his colleagues about why they are atheists, or his atheistic colleagues he questioned. And the reasons that they gave were none because of the science that they had discovered, but all because of reasons other than science. Now, there's plenty more I could say. Once again, I remind you of the questions, the question box. I want to finish by looking at how operational sciences and historicals, well, they don't actually disprove God, and someone claimed they don't actually prove God. I'm happy to go with that at the start. But they actually give clues to God. Clues, the sort of clues that the bloke that we watched, Robert Jastrow, had uncovered. Alvin Plantinga, who's a Christian philosopher, he says there's 2 to 3 dozen of these clues. You'll be pleased to know I'm not going to do that many. And you'll be pleased to know I'm not going to do them in detail, because really each one of these could be a study in and of itself, or a sermon, maybe more of a lecture than a sermon, but anyhow. The same issue that Dr. Robert Jastrow was intrigued by, the fact that the earth has a beginning. Great clue for God, isn't it? The earth is designed, that it all fits together well, and look, it has the appearance of design. Now, some people will say that it evolved to give that design, but it's a great clue for God, isn't it? That it's been made of common building blocks, and it's got great design and all that sort of stuff. The earth is finely tuned. I won't go into all the detail, but if you change many of the constants in the earth, then we all stop existing. And you won't be complaining about 40-degree days. You'll be complaining about a heck of a lot hotter or colder. The regularity of nature, so the fact that nature's ongoing. God, what does God say? It's the same yesterday, today and forever. There is regularity to what God established, and that makes science all the more possible, by the way. If it was chaotic, then what we did today wouldn't work tomorrow, would it? The beauty of nature. It looks at all of those things give us great clues for God. There's plenty more. I think another one is that God actually explains historical reality, such as the resurrection. And you might wonder whether that's historical reality. Remember what we looked at over Christmas time, and there's plenty more evidence that you could look at, evidence for the resurrection. Now, one thing you might have noticed so far is that I haven't really even looked at the Bible, and you might be thinking, is this just the intro? No, actually it's not. I deliberately chose today not to look and see what the Bible says. I'll tell you why. You already accept what the Bible says, and you read Psalms 19 and Romans 1, and you say, yeah, the heavens do declare the glory of God. But if you try and use that as an argument to your non-Bible-believing friends, they really don't give two hoots about what the Bible says. And so someone who turns and says to you, science has disproved God, may not be interested in anything the Bible says. In fact, more than likely won't be. And so it's good to realise that we can still answer that question without going to a scriptural verse, which means a lot for me and for you, but means nothing probably to the person who's making the accusation or asking the question. So it's very deliberate, but don't think that I want to leave God's word out. As you think through the question of how science, a question of the scientific pronouncements that come out, and how they might impact your belief in God, please remember that the reality of God is not based on a scientific theory. It's not based on the speculative nature of the minister at the front either. Look at the evidence for the empty tomb. Start with Jesus, a man of history. Now, there's plenty more I could say, but it is a good place to start. Look at the history of God's involvement in this world. Look at your own salvation and the changes that God has brought about. Look and see whether the God of the Bible actually makes life work. They're not very scientific ways of answering the question, but remember, science will never answer that question, for it never looks at anything other than natural causes and then makes theories based on that. Well, it'll be a great time to write down your questions if you have them. Please feel free to do that. I've got a question for you guys. It's not one that you have to answer to me, but one to think through, maybe to talk through over morning tea, have a tea and coffee. And this is, the question is, what questions concerning your Christian faith have you had because of the things you've read about or heard about in science? They're all those little sidetracks that we could have gone down. So write them down. Remember, I'm going away, so if they're all hard, I'm going to give them to Ben. If they're not all that hard, I'll wait for I can get back. Or actually, in reality, we'll see what the best way to answer each of the questions is. I reckon I'm going to send you an email this afternoon that should take some of this stuff deeper. It will give you the link through to that video which worked mostly. The dark bits were actually working, but you can't see it on the screen up there, and it was just pictures of stars, so you didn't miss anything. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your self-revelation in many ways, particularly this morning as we look at the world that you've created. We thank you that world gives us great clues for you, for your wonder and your beauty and your majesty, for the fine-tuning of the world that you've made. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, more importantly though, that you're a God who is created with beauty and wonder, but a God who loves his creation, including us. We thank you, Lord God, that when we have turned our backs on you, both as individuals and as a society, that you kept knocking at that door and kept wanting us to come back to you. We thank you for your steadfast love shown towards us. We thank you for the great rescue that you've given us through your Son. And Lord, we know what Jesus has done for us, so our eternity has been won. We pray, Lord God, for those people with hard hearts, which are just like us. And we pray, Lord God, that in your mercy you will turn them back to you. Not so they might have to bury their head in the sand, but, Lord, so they might understand the incredible nature of what they are looking at and discovering and understand you in greater depth. We ask this, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.